Hello, it's Clive to Carl, and I'm very pleased to be welcomed by Phil Mycans, who every year puts on this great conference called the Profound Health Summit. And I've really enjoyed it. Last year was really a lot of fun. It was small enough that you could actually meet all the people there. You could meet all the speakers, have breakfast with them, have a drink in the evening and a meal. I mean, it was great, and the venue was lovely. And it's coming on again, and I think you might be interested in coming if you're interested in longevity. And the older we get, I think the more interesting the subject becomes. Phil, tell us about it.
Thank you, Clive. That's absolutely true. I'm sure all of us can say I knew I was immortal up to the age of 30, and then after that, I realised I perhaps might not be. But of course, it's not just about living long. It's about living well, you know, and so that's why this year the working title is Maximizing Health Span, because that's what we all want. It doesn't matter. Age, it can just be a number, providing we can go and live a normal life, that we can do the things that we want to do. And I'm glad that you highlighted the fact, because about the networking and everything possibilities, because, you know, over the last 30 years of my career, I've been to many meetings all around the world, and some are good and some are bad. And the thing is, it's not just about the quality of the speakers, the quality of the subjects. What we all want to achieve by going to any meeting is learning about things that are pertinent to us and important to us. And that can only be achieved with time. In other words, you know, that you get to ask those speakers and your fellow colleagues around you the questions and chat, and you need time for that. And that's why when we designed the Profound Health Summit, which is what it's called, it was very important to us that everybody, speakers and attendees and exhibitors, etc., spend as much time as we can over that weekend. It's a Saturday and Sunday. So, as you rightly say, we all have breakfast together, we all have lunch together, we have dinner together, and we're very heavy on Q&As with the audience. So typically what we do is we spend the morning listening to lectures, and we have quality refreshment breaks, and then we spend the afternoon asking the questions to the speakers. And I also like to encourage a round table where some kind of subject gets going. I am the moderator. Some kind of subject gets going, and we listen to the speakers talk amongst themselves as well. So I hope that combination, and we don't have a gazillion speakers. In fact, we've got 14 speakers coming from many different parts of the world. But I think all of them, and there's two, that's what I want out of this conference, is the meeting, seminar, whatever you want to call it, is everybody that comes is innovative, is cutting edge from whichever country they come from. But at the same time, they're doing it now. And I think that's very important, because there are numerous meetings where you can listen to scientists and researchers talk about what could be, what might be, or what they're working on. But it's not in the real world. You know, if you're a patient with a problem, or you're concerned of something, and same for doctors and other health professionals, you really want to know that whatever it is you're learning, you can do it soon, if not now. So that's why we're very heavily focused at the Profound Health Summit on really practical things that you can do now. So if we've got a lot of health professionals come along because they want to keep up to date with what's innovative, but we also get individuals coming along who are very motivated, let's put it that way, about their long-term health. And as you say, it's not a huge meeting. I mean, we'll probably have 150 people, but what it means is, and it's held at the Luton Who. Now, if folks don't know that name, it's in South Bedfordshire. It's very close to Luton Airport, Luton Railway Station, and the M1. And it's, you know, 40 minutes from London. But it's a stately home that's, anyone can go and look up Luton Who online. It's a well-known stately home, acres of parkland, golf course, spa and all that. So everybody can come along and have a lovely weekend in a five-star hotel, you know, and even if your spouse doesn't want to come to the meetings, they can go and indulge themselves and go swimming or cycling or whatever it is they want to do. Because at the end of the day, we're all people who are interested in long-term health. We've got to have the right environment, haven't we? You know, we've got to have good food, you know, good quality of everything. Otherwise, we could have cut a lot of corners and we could have had KFC deliver the food, you know, and all this. But that would be missing the point rather, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. One of the things that interested me last year was at the end of the talk given by the retired dentist Brian Halverson, mm-hmm. he hinted at the developments that were happening, I believe, in Japan, mm-hmm. Regrowing teeth. Are we going to hear more about that? Because I've not got many teeth left. I'm quite personally interested.
Well, that's an interesting topic. Well, peptides, which is the overall subject, which is what the Japanese are playing with. A lot of countries are playing with them. But in regard to the regrowth of teeth, it is these peptides. They're not the only country doing it. Taiwan is doing quite a lot of work on this as well. Brian is not lecturing this year. However, he's going to be there. So you can walk up to him and ask him yourself if you want to. But he's a lovely, lovely guy. I've known him. He was my personal dentist for many years. And I sought him out because I wanted to get rid of my childhood amalgams. And he was one of the very few people in the UK who was really knowledgeable about how to go about doing that. So, which, as you and I know, is about chelation and other things. But we have another gentleman coming who was at the first one as well. And that his name is Dr. Bill Lawrence, and Bill comes from Atlanta in the States. And Bill has been playing with the Russian peptides, and he's been doing it now for nearly 4 years. And he has about 150 people now in his clinical trial. And at the last meeting, he spoke about his patient results, which I think a lot of people found really fascinating. And he showed that his patients were extending their telomeres, improving their DNA methylation. Now, I'm sorry if that doesn't mean anything to some of the people listening. We'll go back and cover it if you want me to. By the way, last year's videos can be purchased as well. But anyone joining this year will get those free and will also get the new recordings that we shall do from this event free as well. So there's always that opportunity to go back and watch them at your leisure. But what Bill's going to talk about in May, because the event takes place at the end of May, May 25, 26, Saturday, Sunday. And what he's going to talk about, I think, is a subject even closer to people's hearts. He's going to talk about the organ regeneration that he's seen in his patients. Okay, so if you want to call it anti-aging, you know, because the whole concept of biological age, of course, in whatever you measure, is to try and have a measurement that is more in tune with a younger person than an older person. So, and we've got laboratories coming as well who are going to teach us and tell us about the latest tests that everyone can do. So, but I'm really looking forward to Bill's lecture because I haven't even heard it myself yet.
Well, excellent. And briefly, what other subjects are going to be discuss it.
Yeah, sure. Well, the start on the Saturday morning, I've gone for something which, or we've tried to develop it. It's not a nice subject, but I think it's a subject that even if you're fit and healthy, you should learn, and that is cancer. And the reason I say that is because the horrific statistics show that one in two of us in our life will have some form of cancer or other. And it's far too prevalent. I think we all know that. And of course, the $64 trillion question remains, what causes it? But some of us are old enough to remember that President Nixon in the 1970s declared a war on cancer, alluding that his one of his predecessors, JFK, said in the 60s, we will have a man on the moon by the end of this decade. And allegedly they did. And of course, Nixon stood up and said, by the end of this decade in the 70s, we will have licked cancer. So how's that going? Well, not too well, according to the statistics. So we have two gentlemen coming over to talk about the aspects of cancer. The first one, I'm so delighted he's coming because he lives all the way around the world on the island of Vanuatu near New Zealand. So it's an awful long way for him to come. And he so rarely comes to Europe, never mind the UK. So anybody, when I say his name, wants to come and see him, meet him, unless you want to travel to New Zealand or Australia to see him, then this is the opportunity. His name is Bill Cham. This is another Bill, Dr. Bill Cham. And he is one of the most remarkable stories. You know, in my career, there are several stories I've come across which I refer to as wow factors, that when you first hear them, you go, wow, you know. Or if you, of course, if you're a medical doctor, you say, I don't believe it. But I've had that, you know. But despite all his PubMed references and clinical trials, and he is documented, I'm sorry, we'll get to the point. He's documented 80,000 patient cases, right? What am I talking about? I'm talking about using a cream to get rid of skin cancer, to get rid of basal cell and squamous cell carcinomas. And it is a remarkable story. He's written a book about it. By the way, attendees will receive these books free of charge. It's part of the welcome pack. So you'll get Bill Cham's book about his product, which is called Curaderm. That, you know, we could spend the next 20 minutes talking about this thing on its own, but a cream that gets rid of skin cancer that is nearly 100% effective. And I say nearly because there are two situations where it doesn't work very well, but for most people, it's pretty irrelevant. So imagine that you've got a, you know, something on the end of your nose or on your face, you put this cream on twice a day, and within 6 to 12 weeks, it's gone. So who knew that? And we're talking here, no drugs, no chemo, no radiation, just this cream. And the cream comes from a plant on the island of Vanuatu that they call the devil's apple. Okay, but it's actually a relation to eggplant, okay, or what we, I think, call aubergine. So, so I've got that right, haven't I? I always get mixed up as zucchinis are courgettes and eggplants are aubergine, yeah. So, and it's the most amazing story how he discovered it and all the rest of it. And it was his, he became a biochemist and he spent 20 years of his career researching this plant, finding out the substance in it that works, and it's called Celestines, and then putting it in a cream and then clearing everyone's skin cancers up. So, you know, really every dermatologist should know about it, but that's another story. So he's going to be our keynote lecturer, first man on Saturday morning, and he'll be followed by another gentleman from Turkey, from Istanbul, who's called Abdul Slocum, Dr. Abdul Slocum. And now, I have a personal interest here because my wife was actually treated in his clinic, but he has a cancer center in Istanbul, which is quite well known. It's called the Chemothermia Clinic, and they do a multitude of things, from oxygen therapies to vibrations to heat to high dosages of vitamin C. You know, he does a whole range of things, but the staggering fact is that across Europe, and we can say Europe because he's on the correct side of the Bosphorus, you know, because obviously Turkey's in Europe and Asia, but he's on the European side. He has the best results for reversing cancer in Europe. So I think he's worth listening to. So, yes, I know probably all of us have either know people or have people that have various states of cancer. But I do believe that it is a subject we should educate ourselves in. And why do I say that? Because when it happens to you or a loved one or a friend, there is an element of panic and a feeling that although you didn't know about it last month or last year when it was developing, you've got to do something about it either today or tomorrow, right? And you might be rushed into making the wrong decisions. So I think it's worth being somewhat au fait about the choices that are available. And God forbid you find yourself in that situation, at least you have some information to be forearmed with.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that everybody listening to this will want to come. I mean, just from that alone, I think we won't tempt them with the other things. But I mean, that's enough that, you know, we need to know it for the good of our family and friends. I mean,
absolutely. One in two. You know, that number's terrific. That's to show you how good my maths was, that's nearly 50%.
But, you know, I mean, my opinion is that it's the deaths from cancer are way less than that, way, way less. The deaths from chemotherapy and radiation and operations are what, you know, in...
Exactly. The disease may not be killing most of the people, right? I mean, I will say that at the chemothermia clinic, they do use some chemotherapy. However, they use about 1/8 of the dose that they would use in the NHS. And then you start to question, well, how do they do that? How do they get away? Well, I think it's partly because of the multitude of the program that they've got. But do you know what? They do something else that's so goddamn simple. You've got to ask yourself, well, why isn't everybody being taught this, right? I think most people know that there's three things about cancer, but the one predominant one is cancer loves sugar. That's pretty well known. And of course, sugars could be from sugar itself. It can also be from carbohydrates, simple carbohydrates. It depends on kind of lifestyle and things you've got. But so that's where, if you go for a PET scan, for example, to see where the tumors are and how big they are, they give you barium on sugar, because when you ingest that, it's the tumors that go, lovely, lovely, we'll have that, thank you very much. And then, so when they do the scan, they see where the tumors are, but it was sugar that took it there, right? So with that in mind, what they do in Turkey is, the first, if you were to go over there and be assessed, they obviously put you with a nutritionist to show you what you should be eating and blah, 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 blah. But they put you first and foremost, that it doesn't take long, into a ketogenic state. Because when the day comes that they're actually going to give you some of that chemotherapy intravenously, that's when you have lunch. You know, that's when you'll be sitting in the chair with the thing in your arm and it's time for lunch. Well, why? Because you're in a ketogenic state, which means you're very low sugar. Now you're going to take you're going to have your kebab and salad and a glass of pomegranate juice. And I'm saying that because I've actually seen that. It seems to me that Istanbul's loaded with cherries and pomegranates when you walk around. Anyway, which is not a bad thing. And so you're drinking that and you're eating that. Well, the sugars that are going into you are now heading for the tumor, but now they're carrying the chemo. So I think, I'm sure Dr. Slocum will tell us, but I think that's one of the reasons why they can use such low dosages. And that's the thing, if you're actually carrying the chemo to the tumor and not to the healthy cells, you're in with half a chance already of not, you know, feeling like shit. I mean, I think most people know, everyone hates it because they go on chemo and their hair falls out and the skin turns grey and they're vomiting in a bucket every day, you know. Well, that's a rare sight over there because I think it's the dose. So, but that's just one aspect of it. That's just one aspect. So, again, everyone, and the great thing is, if you have concerns in that direction, I guarantee over that weekend, you will be able to talk to Dr. Slocum personally and say, can I ask you a question? You might even be sitting next to him at dinner, because we don't tell people to go this, you must sit here and you must sit here. It go and sit wherever you like. So, well, you remember that, Clive. So, just on the side note, we're actually, Marius is there. You and I know Marius. Marius is Dr. Marius Graiazis. Marius spent many years in London, and he founded the British Longevity Society in the early 90s. And there's a funny story about that as well. You know, I like funny stories. And he's now living again in his native Cyprus, but he's coming over to talk about mTOR, which we won't go off on that, I don't think, right now. But we give an award after dinner on the Saturday night. And of course, who are we? We're going to be awarding Dr. Cham, because, you know, the man who cured skin cancer. All of us may wonder what our epitaph will be. I think he's got a good one that he can be proud of.
Exactly. And I'm pretty sure it was you who first told me about it, and that must have been at least 10 years ago, probably more.
It's not, if you knew about this is, we're probably more than 20 years old, and it's published. It's, you know, it's in serious medical journals. Yeah. But the problem is, as I often say, if you want to keep something a secret, publish it. Because who's reading everything? Nobody. It's impossible. And then, you know, as all too well, and I'm sure you've had many speakers on these, so who's going to, with the system, in the closed loop system of the NHS, who is going to propose something like that to come in? Because the problem with it, it's natural. It's a natural cream.
And of course, it's too cheap. It's very cheap.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because, you know, in the States now, we always head to the States because it's probably the most expensive place. The typical cost of a month's chemotherapy is between $20,000 and $30,000. And I'm not including the hospital overheads, the doctors, the nurses, or anybody else. I'm just talking about the drug.
To pay that much to essentially commit suicide seems crazy.
Well, it's a sad case, of course. It's not the only disease that does it, that most people end up remortgaging their home, or God forbid that their siblings will never see any money from their retirement fund because it all went for the last. You probably know all too well, Clive, that the statistics show that something like 90% of medical care is spent in the last 6 months of life.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they want to milk you before you're gone.
Well, exactly. You know, you haven't paid enough taxes. Well, you seem to have something left over. We'll have that. I'm very facetious, folks. Very facetious. So we're very delighted to have those guys coming. We've got a few people talking about gene therapies because, of course, they're coming up very fast. We've got a very famous lady, a very attractive, famous lady called Liz Parrish. Why is she famous? She's been on the BBC a lot because she was the first person in the world who had a complete set of gene therapies. And, you know, at the time, if you had paid retail price for what she had, you would have spent $1 million. So, and she doesn't seem to be doing badly on it either. So let's hear what she has to say about how, because it's all about the peptides are working in a similar way. You know, you talk about tooth regeneration. It will be basically, the methodology is the peptides and or the genes will instruct DNA, and by so doing will instruct stem cells to go and do a specific job. And it's just coordinating all that. But it's our body that's repairing itself. I mean, the new term now is regenerative medicine, which I think is a good term. You know, and we all knew and we all know that we cut our hands, we watch it repair. But we know that 10, 20, 30, whatever years ago, it was doing that much easier than it is now. So going beyond that, can we invigorate our bodies to improve our hearts, improve our kidneys, improve our lungs, whatever the situation is?
And I think the answer is yes, we can.
I think it is, yes. And what science is doing now, of course, is it's getting closer and closer to really understanding how it can. You know, as I say, Bill Lawrence is coming. He's going to show us 150 patients using peptides, how it's regenerated certain of their certain organs. So, you know, seems like a step in the right direction to me.
It does. So we're looking at the 25th and 26th of May.
That's right. People can go to profound-health-summit.com. I'm sure you'll have a link here, Clive. And they'll get all the speakers, the times, the prices, and all the rest of it. Listen, I'm going to say it now. We're not the cheapest conference in the world because we've aimed this high end. We're going for quality. We're in a 5-star hotel. You know, we're limiting the numbers. You know, there's no good us having 1,000 people there because you won't network. So the absolute maximum we can actually handle is 200 due to the size of the rooms, etc. But as I say, we're focused on, we want you to go there and learn, two, interact with the people that you want to interact with, and hopefully, three, have a bit of fun as well. So, you know, and just enjoy the weekend.
Well, I couldn't recommend it highly enough. And it's the absolute opposite of where we were in December. We went to America's largest longevity conference. And I lost you completely for days. You were there 1 minute and pump. What, four stages going on at once?
Exactly. You look at the program and you go, well, there's two people speaking at the same time on different stages that I want to listen to. And you go, well, which one am I going to? You know, we've got one speaker on the stage and also we've got questions separately. So we spend the afternoon with questions and all that. And we also got time for our exhibitors, especially in the early evening, because we've got some very interesting exhibitors there with some interesting products, services, tests and all the rest of it. Because that's the other side of the equation. Once you've learned what you think you want to do, where are you going to go and find the bits and pieces you may need to go and do it? So, you know, that's the other side of the equation. So, yeah, I hope we're going to see him. I know you're going to have a voucher in your link below, Clive, that will give folks £50 off a ticket. So have a bit of a saving there. And, of course, they can come and meet the wonderful Clive de Carle if they haven't met you yet, Clive.
They can indeed. Exactly. All right. Well, fantastic, Phil. I'm really looking forward to it. And May is only around the corner, supposedly.
It is.
And I imagine, actually, I'm assuming the weather's good. I mean, May in England
should be okay. Things, you know, the daffodils will be well and truly up, and it should be heading towards summer. I don't think May's a bad time normally.
May is my favourite month in the UK. You know, generally because the daffodils are through. You know, everything is going mental.
Yeah. In May. Spring is nice, isn't it? It's a nice time of year. And as I say, Luton Who itself, anyone doesn't know it, go and look it up. It's been in many films. It's been in 4 Weddings and a Funeral. It's been in numerous James Bond films. You know, there's lots of famous people have passed through its doors, like Winston Churchill and stuff like that. There's a lot of history there. And, you know, we're having 3-course quality food, you know, organic food, you know, we're trying to do it properly to have a great experience. And as you rightly say, there are conferences I've been to where you get a cheese sandwich, and a glass of Coke, and you think, really?
I've never been to a conference that's been just as pleasant and easy and quality as yours. So, yeah. I think we've sold it enough. It'll be too full otherwise.
It might sound like we're over-egging it a bit. But listen, we'd love to see anybody there and come up to us and say hello. And because that's what I want to make some new friends there as well. And I'd love to get more British people coming. I know that might sound ridiculous, but, you know, about half our audience are British. And because we still attract a lot of Europeans and Americans, of course, and from other parts of the world too, which is wonderful. I've got no problem with that. But I just would like, dare I use this expression, to wake up more British people, because we've said this before, most Brits are too focused on the NHS, right? It's, I've paid my taxes, I've got unwell, I'll go and get it for free now, you know. And I just want to, I think you and I both just want to make people aware that other parts of the world are doing other things.
Yeah, exactly. All right, fantastic, Phil.
Thanks, Clive.